David Fiorazzo is an author, ordained pastor, a media contributor, and a podcaster. He's been involved in broadcasting for over 30 years and in Christian ministry for over 25 years. David hosts a brand new podcast called Worldview Matters from Freedom Project Media and Harbingers Daily, and he joins me today to talk about what's happening in the news, particularly as it relates to the nation of Israel, and we're going to hit on some of the headlines. It's going to be a great show, you guys. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. So, David, my friend, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Heidi. Great to see you and great to be back.
It's great to see you. I was just on your show. You have a brand new show called Worldview Matters. Tell me how that's going.
Thank you. It's going very well. We kicked off early September and great guests. I love, probably like you can say the same thing, I love the people I get to talk to. And you're one of them, and I'm going to get you back in a few weeks. But it's been going well. People can subscribe at worldviewmatters.tv. That's an once-a-week email, but you can also go and watch their daily episodes, less than a half hour. So different topics. We've been doing Israel. We've been doing Bible prophecy. We've been doing the trans nonsense. We just did one on women's ministry and Halloween, different things. So check out worldviewmatters.tv. Thank you for allowing me to give that plug because it is a new show. And I'm blessed by so far, what I'm hearing so far. So thanks.
Good. Well, it's exciting. You're one of those people I was just telling you before we started recording. I love having you on because you're interested in everything. And it's sort of, I have that a similar vibe going on here at my show because I think if it's happening in the world, Christians should be talking about it. We should be interested with what's going on. I want to start today by just kibitzing with you about the situation over in Israel.
Yes.
Obviously, Israel declared war with Hamas, so it's rightfully they should when someone invades your country and kills innocent civilians and rapes women in the street and beheads little babies. A war. I mean, they've started a war. But what's shocking to me, and this is where I'm sort of interested in your opinion and what you have to say, what's shocking to me is the posture of the United States and the, you know, who, first of all, it took us too long to respond. And then when we did respond, you know, sleepy Joe Biden, who can't string two coherent sentences together, struggling to say the position we take. Now, this morning in the news, I see that they're saying we need to be on guard against Islamophobia. So now we're going to move from Israel's been invaded, women and children been killed, innocent civilians. I mean, these paragliders dropped into a party in the middle of southern Israel and just started slaughtering people.
Yeah.
Now the narrative of the United States is moving to moral equivalence and Islamophobia. What say you?
Well, I've seen some of the videos. I watched what some journalists were putting out, if you dare, friends. And I want to encourage you, it's hard, you who are watching and listening, don't look away. Because that's kind of what happened during the Holocaust. People looked away and just, it was too gruesome, those that actually knew, and that was, you know, another story. But don't look away. This is evil that we haven't seen before. They went into homes slaughtering families. They ripped babies out of pregnant women, and it's horrific. So what do I say? Yep. Well, we are under judgment to some degree in America. Most of us would probably understand that and agree with that since the Obama administration. And then we had a little break during the Trump administration. Trump is not an angel. But I loved his policies, especially pro-life and pro-Israel. He moved the embassy, U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. But one thing that we are experiencing now is we're giving money to terrorist organizations. We're giving money to Iran. We're giving taxpayer money. This is just one of the things that there's no accountability, that people feel powerless. And we're electing, well, not we, you and I, Christians and conservatives. Yeah, right. But so this is going on.
Well, there's Christians and conservatives aren't voting. I mean, there's a lot of that. You could do an entire podcast on that. The number of churches that will talk about our elections, the number of churches that will even talk about what's happening in Israel from the pulpit. It's astonishing the condition of the church in the United States.
Yeah, we just had a guest on my show, Worldview Matters, talking about Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Hamas, and got a couple comments. One of the comments was our pastor didn't even address what happened in Israel on October 7th. The university system, obviously, it's corrupted. There's pro-Palestinian marches. We've seen it on American streets. So Heidi, these aren't people that are all in for evil. These are people that have been brainwashed. These are people that have believed the leftist talking points on progressivism and Palestinians. And they have no idea. But let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 12:3. God will bless those who bless Israel.
Yep.
And he will curse those who curse Israel. And the administrations, Obama, two terms. Biden, at least one term here. They are not supporting Israel. Trump supported Israel. We can't last a whole lot longer, riding those coattails because that time is gone. Now we have a different administration that is not supporting Israel. So we've got to be careful, friends. Before I go on, Heidi, I want to read a scripture from Isaiah that has been on my heart. And just to remember, people, we've got to remember God's sovereign over all this. Israel is not a Christian nation. They're a secular nation, but they are his chosen people. But Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, "Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me." Verse 10, "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my plan will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." That's Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. God's going to accomplish his will. It's going to be worked out. Yep. We don't like what's happening now, but let's just look at our own country. We've got a lot of problems in our own country in the demonic movements and agendas that they've been progressing to an extent. They've had some success in part, Heidi, because the church has been silent. We're not talking just about Israel. The church has been silent on a lot of things. And for example, the LGBTQ ideology, it's just really sad. And Bible prophecy, churches aren't teaching Bible prophecy. And we can go on that. But we've got a lot of problems. We've got battles on a lot of fronts right now. And Christians, don't be discouraged. Don't look away. I think of Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We've got to be fighting. Mm.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel frustrated. They're discouraged. You know, it's easy to just, hide your head from all the things. I listened to Ben Shapiro, who I think was one of the first people to say what you just said, which is don't look away.
Yeah.
And because Hamas filmed these atrocities, they're proud of it. I mean, the reason that we have these things on film is because the terrorists recorded it for us all, right? And so it's important that we not look away. And at the same time, I think we acknowledge a lot of people, Christians around the world, and even here in the United States, feel oppressed. They feel tormented by the evil. Doesn't matter where you go. You can go to the local library and they've got drag queens, reading to your children.
Yes.
You look at the Christian universities. I just spoke yesterday on my show, rather, about what's happened at Multnomah University and removing their statement of faith. There's just so many things going on in the culture right now with regard to just how Christians are having to process all this stuff. Yeah. And you read a passage out of 2 Peter that really spoke to you. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, thank you. This is a really good segue because I want to address what's happening at a level that I didn't see coming. We knew the T was all the way in, the LGBT. For decades and decades, and now it's being rolled out full force, and it is demonic. But let's go back to 2 Peter 2, and let's talk about how Lot, who the Bible considers him righteous, wasn't perfect, but he was considered righteous. Peter said, and he, by the way, Peter, in this context, it's about judgment. It's warning about God's judgment. It talked about what happened before, talked about what happened and now what's coming. But he said, if God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, real actual cities, part of the cities of the plain over there, there were several cities in that area. That whole vicinity was wiped out, not just the two cities. But he said, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter.
Yep.
And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for what he saw and heard that righteous man while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. But I want to stop right there. And he also says, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. But we feel oppressed at times by what's going on, and I feel tormented. There's another translation there, another meaning of that word is almost like tortured. Our soul, mm-hmm. our minds, our will, our emotions, looking what's happening.
It's exhausting.
The evil is nonstop. It is relentless. The enemy will not stop. We've got to recognize first and foremost, this is a spiritual battle. Forces of darkness, yep. principalities and powers, they are at work. And they know their time is short. And the Bible teaches that. Satan knows his days are numbered. We're getting close to the end. We are in the last days. But let's talk about how oppressed we feel. I want to just share one example. And his name is Dr. Curtis Crane. I heard about him through Chris Rufo, Manhattan Institute. Chris Rufo was writing about this guy, City Journal as well. And there's a doctor, and he's in Austin and San Francisco, has two separate clinics where they do a lot of transgender manipulation, cosmetic mm-hmm. surgeries, and I call them experimental surgeries. But
well, that's
this
fair.
Was. This was in an article I wrote, Heidi, that started off by saying the American Medical Association now wants to suggest that taxpayers fund uterus transplants. Wait a minute. That sounds crazy, right? Because it's a very high-risk procedure. It can cost up to $300,000. It can take a year and a half, surgeries, follow-ups, and a lot of money. The love of money is root of all kinds of evil,
yep.
and the medical profession is not immune from this temptation.
Well, we saw that in the Rona, didn't we?
Oh, we sure did. Yes, we sure did. So let's get back to what this guy's doing now. First of all, there are women that some of them are born without a womb or without a uterus. So the medical community, how can I help? Well, we have the technology now to do this. There have only been about 100, I think, in America. The first uterus transplant was 2014 in Sweden, I believe. But so, okay, you can do that. It's high risk, but yet a baby was born last year, or in May of this year, after the first uterus transplant in America at the University of Alabama. So she had a baby, and she was, this is miraculous, this is remarkable, but the question I ask is ethical. Should yeah. we do it? Just because we can do something, should we do it? So now they're taking it to the next level and saying, what about transgenders? What about and this is to you and I, it's a man who wants to see if he can get pregnant and have a baby. That's what it is. But so they're saying, let's do uterus transplants for transgenders now. This is so twisted. Now we bring in Dr. Curtis Crane, who's been doing these non-binary surgeries. Now, let me just read a little bit because I wrote about it a couple months ago. You can find it on my website or at Harbinger's Daily. But and he's got a 2-year waiting list from what I understand. So business is booming there. So he's been doing a procedure called non-binary genital surgery since 2015. He's got 5 doctors, more than 1,000 of these experimental operations a year, and he specializes in what's called vaginoplasty, which involves castration and nullification, and then creating an artificial vagina for male-to-female patients. He also does phalloplasty, which is creating and installing an artificial male organ. And that's for female-to-male patients. Now, this is where it gets so twisted, and I didn't see this next step coming. And you guys know when we're talking about being oppressed or feeling tormented about this. Crane designs and performs another surgery. It's called non-binary, which he fashions together both male and female organs or genitalia for one person. So
what?
One person has both male and female, because I read the reasoning. His reasoning was, if gender is non-binary, what's to say someone could
matter?
Exactly. So that's what. So I'll go back to Genesis. My new book coming out, God willing, in December. The assault on the image of God, Imago Dei, the truth of creation, that we were created in His image, and so there's tearing apart God's existence, the divine order. Male, female, marriage, family, societal order. They're tearing that apart. Family, we're being attacked. And of course, the Christians are. But so this guy, he's just making money. And he's just saying, hey, if someone wants to keep their organ and they think they're the other gender, they just want to have the other one put on. That's what he's doing to some people.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's program is being sponsored in part by MyPillow. You guys, I love this company, and right now they are having a mattress sale. Listen, I have a MyPillow mattress and I love it, and right now their complete mattress system is on sale for 50% off when you use the promo code Heidi. The mattresses come in coil and foam in a wide range of sizes from twin to split king, and they carry a 10-year warranty with a 6-month money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-447-0541. Or visit MyPillow.com and just use the promo code Heidi to save 50% at checkout off the complete mattress sleep system. This deal is not going to last long. Enter promo code Heidi to save 50% today. That is so amazing.
It's going to come back.
Really, you just hit the nail on the head, because this is a spiritual battle. It is spiritual from sun up to sundown. This is an attack against Creator God. This is the adversary, the spirit of the age, right? Sticking his thumb in the face of Creator God and saying, oh, yeah? You know, look what I just did to your kid over there. Look what I'm doing over here, right? We know that God created us in his image. He loves human beings, and Satan's after him. And I've been teaching here at Firmly Planted Family for the last several weeks. I'm taking audiences through the book of Revelation. And we're talking about how prevalent now the spirit of the age is. And yet we were warned about this in scripture. We weren't warned about uterine transplants. I just shared a post of someone the other day who, a transgender, right? So a dude who wants to be a woman, who said that he wants to get the first uterine transgender transplant so that he can have the first transgender abortion. This is sick. It is evil. It is an abomination before the Lord. And the church should have a voice.
Yes. And that's one of the big issues, Heidi. Oh, we've had a lot of conversations, you and I, about the silence of the church not talking about these things.
It's deafening.
Because, wait a minute, though, Heidi, it's a political issue, isn't it? No, this is an issue of morality. This is a direct assault on God, his word, on believers, on the gospel, on the truth. This is an assault, friends. Mm-hmm. So if your pastor, I'm going to say this, if your pastor is not talking about these things, I mean, Israel as well, but if he's not talking about issues of sexuality when it comes to what the Bible teaches on the morals that we have, our code as far as the Bible, that's our authority. The Bible is the final authority. If he's not teaching on these things, your congregation is not equipped. If he's just doing a topical sermon every Sunday and just whatever, gosh. So kids, and by the way, we can go back to Barna research too. We know that I think 67% of pastors, it was a high percentage of pastors, don't even have a biblical worldview. But Heidi, let's talk about the kids. What are kids learning? Are kids being equipped? Only 13% of youth pastors have a biblical worldview. And my understanding over the past decades, when I heard the idea of a youth pastor, which technically is not really kind of biblical, but anyway, let's just let that go. They think they're just there to keep the kids occupied. They're not doing discipleship. They're not really, most of them are not. They just go, well, kids have short attention spans. They've got all the machines, all the, you know, they've got the phones and let's have fun. Let's play games. And you've, I'm sure, heard it's like some of the games that youth pastors play, and that's not doing, it's doing a disservice to kids. And so we've got a lot of trouble right in the church. So,
well, and it goes back to the outsourcing of parenting, right? So Christian parents for decades now and generations have outsourced parenting, and we've decided that it's the job of the pastor and the youth pastor to give our children that spiritual formation that God says is the responsibility of parents. And then you see the church stepping down from its role in the culture, and people say, you know, you and I have talked about politics a lot because I was on your show quite a bit when I was running for Congress. The reality is 99.9%, maybe even 100%, of the issues that we're dealing with that are called political are moral at their root. Well, if they're moral at their root, the church should have a voice. We should be talking about this stuff.
Yeah. What is your starting point? What is your pastor's starting point? if we are not addressing these things, I mean, we've got to go back to what the Bible teaches. And what's happening in our culture is no surprise. The left is going to, they're pushing the envelope. Every time I'm reading some of these things, Heidi, what's happening, what they're doing, whether it's the government schools or in media or in the entertainment industry or corporations with the new DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, whatever else they're pushing, and CRT, it's like, they're going to do as much as they can get away with because there's not as much resistance or pushback from the people and the church of all people. The church should be the ones. If you love your neighbor, don't you want to protect your children, your neighbor's children? We should be speaking up and addressing these, confronting these issues, but we're not.
Yeah. And like you've said many times before in your show, I mean, you wrote a whole book about this, about truth and how important it is. Love tells the truth. And the church decided a long time ago that it would sacrifice truth on the altar of mercy. And so we look at a situation and we go, oh, well, we don't want to tell that. We don't want to call that person out for his sin because after all, he identifies that way, or homosexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to just love people where they're at. Well, Jesus did that, right? He loves you where you're at. But the way he loves you is he says, hey, go and sin no more. Right. And we've kind of gotten away from that in the church today.
That's a good point, because we have to remember, and friends, whoever is watching and listening, these people are lost. Many are not deceivers. Most of them are deceived.
Yes,
and they are completely lost and they're confused. If you heard the same talking points from when you were in kindergarten through, I mean, you said a very good, very important point that it's got to start at home. If parents aren't raising their kids on the biblical worldview, where are they going to get it today?
Yep.
The left has hijacked all the major institutions. They are not going to get the biblical worldview anywhere because they're not even getting it at church sometimes. So you need to get it at home. You need to give it to them at home. But so they're growing up hearing all this. We can't be surprised when they end up to be social justice activists and think, oh, yeah, I guess if whatever they say, I'm supposed to be putting my communist fist up in the air and saying Black Lives Matter, not thinking about Marxism and the demonic-driven movement that is the Black Lives Matter global network foundation that is funded by the left.
Who doesn't care one whit about Black people. They don't care.
No.
They don't care about the Black unborn. They don't care about Black conservatives. Exactly. They don't care about Black police officers. This is not about the Black community. This is about promoting a political agenda. We've got to do better than this. We have to be wise as a serpent, Jesus said, and gentle as a dove. And man, I'll tell you, what an amazing time to be alive.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I was just thinking, you know, we have an opportunity our grandparents or great-grandparents didn't have. They didn't see what we have today in our culture. They didn't see it coming. They didn't, by a long shot. By the way, one of the chapters in my new book is going to be, actually it is, I already wrote it. What would our great-grandparents think about what's going on today? Can you imagine? That was before the internet, before the public schools went to you know what. So we've got a lot of issues, Heidi, but it all comes down to the gospel. We are here for such a time as this. And as long as there's breath in our lungs and our hearts are beating, we are messengers of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors represent their king. So I'll look at you and say, friends, are you representing your king, Jesus Christ, the Lord? Are you representing him outside of your home? I mean, I'm sure you are in your home before your children. Hopefully that's a given. But what about when you go outside that door? Because that's who needs to see the light. And it just takes a little bit of light in this dark, corrupt, and perverse culture and generation.
You have a lot of people on your show, and you've been doing, you know, broadcasting for a very long time. And I'm curious to know, this wasn't in our notes today, but as I'm looking at, I'm looking at Revelation chapter 7 and, of course, talking about what it's going to be like in heaven. I mean, heaven is a constant worship service, right? Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to God forever and ever. And this the age of the church, I believe the church age is coming to a close. I think that we are very near to the rapture. I mean, certainly we are much more close now than we were 10 years ago. And we don't know if we're looking at another 10 years or another 50 years. But the point is, the Lord is going to return for a church that is chaste and pure and following after him. And boy, if we're not struggling to do that right now. But so fascinating to me to think about all the people that you have talked to, and most of the Christians that I know, at least the ones who are in the Word and are sensitive to the Spirit, they sense that something is up.
Oh, yeah. We're close.
Are you getting that too?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I got, even before the horrific tragedy and the attacks by Hamas on Israel on October 7th, even before that, even BC, Heidi, before COVID, I was thinking the last maybe 5 or 10 years, I've noticed, but now, oh my goodness. And then now we've got AI, we've got all this stuff, the World Economic Forum and the globalists.
Well, we have an open southern border.
Yes.
I can't remember. It might have been the Washington Post. So even the liberal newspapers now are starting to be like, oh, this doesn't look very good, right? Published a picture of probably 5,000, and they look to be armed men. These are not women and children. These are not your tired, huddled masses. These are grown men.
Yes.
Many of them look to be 17, 18, 19, I'm sorry, fighting age.
Yeah.
And we have let them into our country by the millions.
It's just a matter of time.
Is it just me or is something up?
Well, the FBI, one of the agencies is warning that there are potential terror cells already no surprise.
Yeah. We need the FBI to tell us that because the FBI is such a stellar organization and we believe everything they tell us, right?
Ooh, dripping, Heidi, dripping.
Well.
With sarcasm. Hey, quick. You brought up Revelation 7, and I've got to go back to it and just read verse 9 when it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count. Listen to this. From every nation and all the tribes. How many? All the tribes, peoples, and languages, all standing before the throne, before the Lamb, and then clothed and crying out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. That is powerful. Because that's saying, Jesus, our Lord, transcends race, language, borders, nations. And so I just thought that, I just really wanted to point that out. You brought up
it's beautiful.
Revelation.
And it's beautiful also because that passage is talking specifically of this great multitude are people who come to Christ during the tribulation. So these are people who he's saying have been martyred for their faith. This comes right after the sixth seal is broken. The cry of the martyrs goes up and they say to the Lord, how much longer are you going to wait before you come back? And so you're talking about people who have been martyred for their faith, who stand before the throne, because right before that passage, right, we're hearing about what's going on the earth. And this great multitude that ends up standing before the Lord, and immediately they're in the presence of the Lord, clothed in white. Like, this is what's coming.
Wow.
And even in the tribulation, people who have still been left on the earth after the rapture of the church and have been shaking their fist at God come to know him during some of the most horrific times to be alive on planet Earth. And immediately after they die, they are standing before the Lord in heaven. It's an incredible thing to behold.
Yep. Yep, I love that book. I thank you for teaching it. I mean, there are some pastors who won't touch it. So there's a lot in there. I think of the letters in Revelation 2 and 3, the letters to the churches. When someone, might say, well, what would Jesus say to the American church today? I'm going, well, for starters, first, we have an idea, but let's go back to what he said to the churches in Asia Minor. And those were at that time. There were eyewitnesses still alive at that time, and the churches were having issues. The five of them were being rebuked, including the lukewarm church at Laodicea. So we're like the United States of Entertainment, the lukewarm church that's so focused on culture and so distracted. And I want to encourage you.
Don't even get me started on the Dev Awards.
Oh, my boy.
Well, in this culture that we live in, right, the celebrity culture, we've turned our pastors into celebrities. We've turned worship leaders into celebrities. We hang out in the green room, right?
Oh,
and
boy.
And instead of ministering to the people, and yet Jesus said, you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? He who is the least will be the greatest. We got it backward. The American church has it backward.
I'm glad you brought that up. There's something... we were talking about what happened in Israel, horrific, unprecedented evil, new ways of doing evil and filming it. And then what happened just in clinics and in some children's hospitals in America that are doing these gender affirming care. But boy, these people are. But I think about just so much else that's going on that we have to take a step back and go, all right, God is not surprised by any of this. And I think we need to remind ourselves, you know, he's not up there pacing, and we shouldn't be either. But the church needs to say something. The church needs to speak up. I think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous, he was one of the third of confessing church in Germany, not the professing church, which two-thirds of them caved and went along with Hitler, either to conform or they actually thought maybe he was going to do something good for the nation. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil.
Yes.
Not to speak is to speak, and not to act is to act. God will not hold us guiltless. And so I don't want to condemn or judge people here, but I know I could do a better job when I'm out in public, maybe just looking at the gas station or somewhere, the grocery store, handing out a Bible tract or just sharing people the love of Christ, because they're hopeless. They see what's going on. We're seeing what's going on. They see what's going on. They don't have the Bible to make sense of any of it. They can't make sense of this. They're just going, wow, this I don't understand how they're left is right. Right is left. Up is down. Good is being called evil. Evil is being called good. They don't have the biblical perspective that we do. We can look through that lens and go, yeah, we see what's happening. We understand. So we're discerning, but people need to hear, you know, really tell it. Maybe they'll ask you for more. Maybe they'll ask you why, the hope that we have. Why can we still believe when everything's going, you know, to you know where?
Yeah, how can we still believe? That's exactly right. We know that our hope isn't here. Our hope is in heaven. And I'm so thankful for your voice. Tell us one more time, David, about your podcast. And then I'm going to see if I can get you to come back for happy hour for a couple of minutes.
Okay. Worldviewmatters.tv, or you can download the Freedom Project app. It started as an online classical Christian school and an academy. But now they branched out into the media wing. I've been working a little part-time for about 8 years, but we just started Worldview Matters. So Freedom Project is who puts it on. They do a great job. I'm thankful with the quality, with what they've been doing. So worldviewmatters.tv.
I love it. David Fiorazzo, you are a voice that that a lot of people listen to and trust. I'm thankful for the steady leadership, the reminder that Christ is on his throne, and we are here for such a time as this. Come back and join me again. I'd love to have you.
All right. God bless you. Thanks, Heidi.
For those of you who are subscribed to the Heidi St. John podcast, many of you know the story of what's happening right now with David's wife post-COVID, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to get a little bit of update from him. So if you're subscribed to the show, stick around for happy hour. Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to subscribe, you can do that by going to Spotify. Just click the subscribe button. It's a great way to support this podcast and help keep us on the air 5 days a week. We love you guys. We'll see you right back here again tomorrow at the intersection of faith and culture.